Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for this morning is written in the 16th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 21st verse. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Job was known as the greatest of all the people of the East. He owned thousands of animals. He was married and had seven sons and three daughters. But Job didn't stay the greatest. In a single day, he lost all of his children and his animals. Job was tempted to give up on God and blame him for his suffering. But even amid all of his crosses or hardships, Job rejoiced in Jesus. He looked to Christ for strength. Job's story is in many ways our story. We don't necessarily lose everything we own in a single day like Job, but our lives are difficult. God doesn't promise that your earthly life will be easy. Instead, you are to bear your cross and follow Jesus. This is difficult because our sinful nature denies the cross. Suffering's hard. We're not alone, however, because Christ accepted the cross for us. Because of him, we carry our crosses in Christ. We talk about a cross in our life as some sort of difficulty that we are facing, such as an unexpected family event or sickness. In New Testament times, the word cross referred to the beams of wood on which a person was nailed upon to die. This is what the disciples would have thought when they heard Jesus say, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus doesn't mean that every Christian will be nailed to a cross. But he does mean that Christians have to suffer and deny themselves. Denying ourselves means that we can't follow our sinful, selfish desires and Christ. It requires putting to death, crucifying, if you will, our sinful inclinations as we follow Christ. Paul writes, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Peter didn't understand the cross, especially Jesus' cross. In fact, after Jesus explained his upcoming death and resurrection, Peter was horrified. He said, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Peter implied that God would never let this happen. He showed concern, but his selfish thoughts opposed God's will. The great ignorance Peter shows is astounding, and yet we too are ignorant of how God carries out salvation. Jesus then turns to Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on the things of man." In our English translation, it almost sounds like Jesus is asking Peter for support. But what it means is, "Get away from me." Satan means that Peter was encouraging the very work of Satan himself. This was a trap. It would catch Jesus in a death grip and keep him from fulfilling God's plan of salvation. The Greek word for hindrance indicates the triggering mechanism of a trap. If Jesus just barely touched the trap, he would have failed in bringing forgiveness to the whole world. Peter's sinful nature spoke selfishly. Our sinful nature is the same. We want things to go our own way. It's hard to listen to others and really care about what they have to say. Even our best deeds have sinful motivations. Deep down inside, we want life to revolve around us and what we want. The sin from our fallen nature leads to eternal death, since apart from God, there is no life. Jesus states, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Because of our sinful, selfish nature, we forfeit eternal life and deserve nothing but separation from God. Jesus never sinned, and yet he said he must suffer and die. It was God's will and plan for salvation. Jesus took upon himself our sins and their consequences. Our sins resulted in Jesus being crucified on the cross. In taking up his cross, Jesus fulfilled the words of Psalm 40, verse 8. "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." Jesus denied himself to do his Father's will. Jesus knew how painful his suffering and death would be. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to the Father, asking that if it was his will, that he would take his cup of suffering from him. He knew he would suffer eternal damnation for the sins of the entire world, but he still submitted to the Father to the point of death. Jesus told his disciples he would suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. He was whipped and scourged. His body was nailed to the cross. Jesus was forsaken by God the Father and suffered eternally for your sins. He could have left the cross as true God, but instead, he embraced it for you. Christ willingly suffered upon the cross, even eternal damnation, to bring us forgiveness. After his suffering and death, Jesus rose again on the third day, showing that he is victor over sin, death, and the devil. The cross is a symbol of shame and sin, but it is also a symbol of victory over sin, death, and the devil. Jesus rose, and we also will rise victorious on account of Christ. Since Jesus carried his cross, we also carry ours. It's necessary. But our sinful nature resists the cross. We need Jesus's help. Jesus brings us forgiveness in our baptisms. In baptism, our old sinful nature is buried, and the new man rises to life, a life of faith in Christ. Daily, the new man fights against our selfish inclinations with Christ's help. It's difficult. It's a battle. We struggle because we are both saint and sinner at the same time. Peter's confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," shows that he's a saint. But his words, "Far be it from you, Lord," show that he is a sinner. We're like Peter. We show our faith and then we sin. We're both saint and sinner. But just like Peter, Christ will not forsake us. He rebukes us, but then he says to our terrified, troubled souls, "I forgive you all of your sins." Christ says to us, "I am with you and will help you bear your cross." Cross bearing is one of the ways in which God keeps us focused upon Christ's cross of forgiveness. Crosses humble us because we have no choice except to bear them. They cause us to look to God's word for comfort and strength instead of ourselves. With our crosses, we follow Jesus. We follow him in the word and sacraments because that's where he is. When we follow him in his word, we're comforted in knowing that he knows exactly how we feel. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows your trials. He is with you every step of the way, comforting you and reminding you that He works all things for good. When we wonder why God would allow hardship or become tired fighting sin, we remember Jesus' words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. There is great pain during labor, but then when the child is born, there's great rejoicing. In resisting our selfish nature and looking to Christ for comfort as we bear our crosses, we are like a woman in labor pains, looking forward to life in heaven with our Savior. It's hard and painful while it's happening, but afterward, it's short and insignificant compared to the eternal joys of heaven. Thanks be to God that Jesus took our place and took upon himself his cross. The great love and mercy that Christ shows us is beyond anything we can earn or deserve. In our baptisms, our sins are washed away, and we are declared clean. We now fight against our selfish, sinful thoughts with Christ's help, following Christ in the way of the cross. His cross gives you strength to carry your cross and follow Him. And we find this strength in the Word and sacraments. Job definitely had his share of crosses, just like us. Even though he suffered, God eventually restored Job even more than he had before. This is a picture of life in heaven. After bearing our difficulties upon earth with the help of Christ, we will be restored in heaven and have more than we've ever had before, including eternal life with our dear Savior. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.